Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this your high holy Sabbath day, the first high day of the Feast of Tabernacles. As we come together, Father, to again rejoice before you, we ask, Father, that you would be with us and that you would bless us, that you would touch each and every one of our hearts. Help us, Father, to draw closer to you as we seek your face, Father, and seek your word at this time. We ask that your word would have free course in us, that you would bless us and build us up. Help us, Father, to do that which is right in your sight. As we seek to gain more of your Holy Spirit through your word, touch each and every one of our hearts. Help us, Father, to share that love that Yahshua shared with us as we show love to you by keeping your commandments. We thank you again, Father, for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us for our life, health, and strength, and for the love that you've manifested toward us. In Yahshua's holy name, we come before you, asking all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may all be seated. This message is entitled, Enhancing Your Life with Love. Most people want to be loved, but many find it difficult to find love. But the love you seek is right there, staring you in the face when you look into the mirror. The love that you seek starts within you. Almighty Yahweh showed us love while we were yet sinners, brother. He loved us before we loved ourselves. We must first learn to love ourselves before we can appreciate and love the love of someone else. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 4. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yahweh. And everyone that loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He that loves not knows not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. And this was the love of Yahweh manifested in us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, what kind of example did Yahshua give us? He gave us the example of love and laying down his life for us. When you think about what Yahshua did in his life, how he stepped down from his superior position as the Son of Yahweh and became the Son of Man, he served us in John 13 when he washed the disciples' feet. He showed that he was a servant of love. In verse 10, it says of 1 John 4, this is love, not that we love Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin, the atonement for our sin. Now, it's important that we understand that for a righteous man, it says, someone might be willing to die. There's been many people who sacrificed their lives. All the armed services, all of the armed services those who are serving, those who gave their lives during World War II, or all these different wars in the past, even Israel of old, they fought. Some gave their lives for what they believed was right. They were fighting for Yahweh. See? So when it comes to laying down your life, the question is, do we love Yahweh enough to lay down our lives for him? See, when we entered into this covenant, that's the vow and the bond that we took. When we entered into Yahshua's baptism, we entered into his death. And by him being the second Adam, because the first Adam died and brought sin into the world with sin with Eve. But the second Adam, Yahshua the Messiah, brought us life. He brought us life through his death, showing us that he not only loved Yahweh enough to give his life to each one of us, he loved each one of us. And see, that's where it's so important for us to understand this sacrifice. A lot of people give it lip service, and they say, well, you know, I'm getting baptized, and I want to be a part of this because of what Yahshua did for me. But then when it comes to doing something for their brother, they have a hard time. They could care less. I can't do that for that person. No, I can't do that. And the person wasn't asking for their blood. They weren't asking for them to give their life. But this is what Yahshua did for each one of us. He gave his life for us. Yet, when one of our brothers asks us for something, you know, and it becomes an issue or a problem for us to give to them, it shows that we're not there yet. Doesn't mean we're not going to get there, but we're just not there yet. Okay? And a lot of this is stuff that we have to unlearn. Because when we were raised as children, a lot of us were spoiled. Some of us were just rotten. But when you think about it, and I'm not just talking about those that may have been a single child or the youngest child, but sometimes it was the oldest child that got all the good, you know, and got the favoritism and made the rest of the other kids a little angry or, you know, jealous. But when you think about how you're raised, it influences how you are as an adult. But we're supposed to learn the lessons when we come to Yahweh from what Yahshua did for us. His love for us should change each and every one of us and our outlook toward one another. You understand? Because he was willing to die for us, we have to be willing to go that extra mile as well. Now, in verse 11, it says in 1 John 4, beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And this is what we received at baptism. We received the Spirit of Yahweh at baptism. That sets us apart from the rest of the world. See, the rest of the people out here walking around, they don't have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. So, you know, if they come after us one day, whether they're a coworker or whatever, and they, you know, get up on the wrong side of the bed, they're in a bad mood or whatever, we can accept that. We can understand they don't have the Holy Spirit, okay? But we have to be different. Because we have this love within us that has been granted to us and given through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, we have to be different. We have to show that love to those people, even if they're grouchy. You never know when you're going to entertain angels unawares. It could be a test. It could be your day. Somebody comes to you, and that somebody happens to be an angel. And Yahweh's testing you to see how you're going to react. So if you treat that person with love, which is what Yahweh is looking for, then pass that test. But say it's one of those days where you just, man, I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to deal with these people. I don't want to deal with this, you know, regardless of whatever the circumstances may be. You know, this is why we have to try to have that great personality. Everybody's not the same. Me and my wife were talking about that. One of the other employees at her job was very good at her job, but she wasn't very personable. And see, some jobs require you to be able to, you know, put on that smile every day. especially customer service. If you deal with people, you have to be able to give that customer service. You know, and a lot of people get complained on because, man, called your job today, and whoever I got, man, they must have got on the wrong side today because they were just very negative. And in a job like that, they have to be very positive because they have to lift people up constantly. And sometimes we got to get lifted up ourselves. But that's where that love comes in. We have an advantage over the people of the world because we have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. In verse 14 of 1 John 4, it says, "And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim lives in him, and he in Elohim." Now, back to this baptism thing. And that Ethiopian eunuch said, "Here's water. What forbids me from being baptized?" He didn't have to show a tithing record of 6 months or 3 years. He didn't have to show, you know, attendance here. We don't know if tomorrow is the last day of that person's life. This is why we're not making a lot of restrictions that, okay, you've got to tithe for this period of time before you can be baptized. If you show fruits and you say that you believe that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, and that's all he told him. That's all he told him. He believes, when he read Isaiah 53, that he believed that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. That's all that was required of him. See, man wants to add all these requirements because, you know, I need to see fruits. I need to do this. I need that. Now, fruits are required in certain times, certain things, but when it comes to someone's heart, we can't see the people's heart. Yahweh knows their heart. It's not up to us. We're supposed to do our job. If they ask for baptism, and they answer all the correction. I mean, all the question right. They believe that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. We can't forbid them water. You understand? They could have been a murderer, like Paul was a murderer. You understand? And there are a lot of people who had a lot of great sins in their past life who repented of them. And the love is here when we show them. Okay, this is love. This is what Yahshua says. You know, they came to you because you're preaching and teaching the word of Yahweh. And they want to be saved. They want salvation. And they know it's here, so that's why they're knocking on your door. So we're going to tell all those brethren over in Malawi, and their number one language over there is English, so they should understand this with no problem. I'm sure they have accents, but, you know, there's no requirement that they have to, you know, be tithing for a certain period of time or do this or do that. Yes, they need to learn the doctrines. In Acts 15, when Jacob says, talking about the Gentiles, when the Jews told him they had to be circumcised, physically circumcised, he said, "No, abstain from that which dies of itself in blood. You're not supposed to eat blood." He says, they have those at the synagogues that will teach them Moses and the Torah every Sabbath. See, he didn't put a whole bunch of requirements on these people. And we're not trying to do that. What we're trying to do is teach them the Torah, the law of Yahweh, and what we believe. And if they believe that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, that's their fulfilling the requirement. You understand? Because this is love. Verse 15, "Whoever shall confess that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim lives in him, and he in Elohim. And we know and have believed the love which Yahweh has in us." Yahweh is love. "And he that lives in love lives in Yahweh, and Yahweh lives in him. And this is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. We have to be an example. Excuse me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has punishment. The people who are fearing what's coming down the pipe don't understand or have the love of Yahweh. They're still worried about what could happen instead of trusting in Yahweh. Because Yahweh is the one that's going to direct you to where he wants you to be and have you do what he wants you to do. Some of us will be martyred. We're going to die for the faith, some of us. But some of us will be alive when Yahshua returns and meet him in the air. And he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, he is a liar. But he that does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love Yahweh whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves Yahweh loves his brother also. And that's important that we do exactly that. Turn over to John 3:16. It's a very popular passage. We all know it. But John 3:16. At least we'll start there. It says, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. Not only did that include that malefactor that was hanging there on the tree with him, but it includes each and every one of us that declares that Yahshua is our Savior, is our Messiah. For Yahweh, in verse 17, sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He that believes on him is not judged. He that believes not has been judged already. Because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light. And their works were evil, for everyone that does evil hates the light, and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. Because most evil people are in darkness. They don't want to be in the light. They don't want people to shine that light on them to see what they're doing. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been worked in Yahweh. Leviticus chapter 19. This is in the Torah. Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. He signs it with his name. Now, with this in mind, and we're not bearing any grudges against anybody, if somebody that offended you or sinned against you and you've forgiven them, but say they come in the service, they come and join us, how are we going to react to these people? You understand? They may have sinned against us, but we have to forgive them. And this is what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to show love to everybody. Not only our neighbor, but our enemy as well. It's really a human thing not to want to get hurt. And I understand it's self-preservation. Nobody likes to put themselves in a position where they're going to be hurt. But guess what? Yahweh is the one that protects us. He's the one that strengthens us through his love and through Yahshua the Messiah. Turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we normally go through before Passover and before the Day of Atonement. But the reason I'm using it today is because I want to emphasize something about love. Verse 15, and if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the assembly, the administration. And if he refuses to hear the assembly also, let him be to you as the Gentile and the publican. Those who are out in the street. See, because that's where he'll end up, pretty much. Truly, I say to you, whatever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever things you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For there, two or three are gathered, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But what if these two or three are gathered together and they say they're in the name of Yahweh, they're doing, you know, Yahweh's will, at least they think they are. You know, because sometimes every man does that which is right in his own eyes. See, they don't follow through with the scriptures because you can get a couple people to say, well, you know what, I don't like them over there. We're going to go over here and do our own thing because of this. One thing they're doing over there we don't like. What they're doing may be scriptural. But what the people are deciding that they don't want to do is not scriptural. See? But they're gathered together. They're calling on the name of Yahweh. And the reason I'm saying this is because I want to make a point here. Matthew 7. Verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit. But the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, Gehenna. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says to me, Yahshua, Yahshua, or Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Yahshua, Yahshua, did we not prophesy by your name, and by your name cast out demons, and by your name do many mighty works? So they did mighty works. They cast out demons. And then will I confess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness. See? That lawlessness is a violation because they're violating the covenant somewhere. And what we have to understand through Matthew 18 is that we are willing to forgive those that may have sinned against us. We have our arms wide open to embrace them if they decide they want to come back into the fold. They want to join us in worship. They want to join us in praising Yahweh. We won't deny that. But see, love means that we take that step. We'll go outside and take the first step. Because with the 90 and 9, you got 100 of them out there, you lose the one, you're supposed to go after that one. And we'll try to do that in each and every opportunity we have. Now, people can reject Yahweh. They do. And sometimes when you put out the olive branch and you go forth and you show love and you say, this is what the word of Yahweh says, you know, this is what we are doing. We're trying to extend an olive branch to you to show you that we love you. They can still poo-poo you and reject you. You understand? And we have to be willing to accept what we get. But we can still do our best to serve Yahweh in expressing our love to our neighbors and each and every one, even those that have left us in the past. But Yahweh wants us to open that door and enhance our life with love. Because that's what love does for us. It enhances our life. It makes us better people. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the love chapter. If I speak, in verse 1, with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burnt, but have not love, it gains me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not its own, is not provoked, takes no account of evil, doesn't keep score. Rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. We're here to rejoice before Yahweh, brethren. And love rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love endures all things. Whatever we go through in our life, love will endure it. It's going to make us a better person on the other side of it. We're all going to go through some challenges in our life, though. But love is going to bring us through those challenges. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they shall be done away with. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. And when you think about who wrote this, and like I said, I've been studying the history of Paul, and Paul was a zealot for its people, the Jewish people. He had something really negative against Gentiles. He had nothing to do with those people. He was a Pharisee to the nth degree. They had no dealings with Gentiles. What did Yahweh do? Flipped him around. Became an apostle to the Gentiles. You understand? See, so you can believe that you are something or you doing this, and you believe a certain way. And what happened with Jonah? He got off to Tarshish in a different direction than Nineveh. But where did he end up? In Nineveh. See, so whatever we decide, that's, you know, we can make a plan, but the answer is Yahweh. He's the one that's going to make us fulfill what he wants us to fulfill. And if we love one another, brethren, we're going to fulfill the law. Because that's the fulfillment of the law, love. He says, I have put away childish things, for now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now these three live, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 1. For freedom the Messiah set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Now, a lot of people say, well, that he's talking about the law. He wasn't speaking about the law. He was talking about sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. And too many people miss that point because they have been indoctrinated by churchianity, Christianity, whatever, thinking that the law is a yoke of bondage. Okay? Now, how many types of laws are there? You have the Torah. You have the Talmud, which is the oral law. You have the sacrificial law. So when you think about all of these different types of law, you have to know what they're talking about when they speak of the law. Because it doesn't break it down and say, this is speaking of the Torah, this is speaking of the Talmud. Now, the Talmud was the law of the fathers. It was the fence around the Torah. So that you wouldn't break the Torah, you had all these other laws, okay? Which means, but see, a lot of them just broke down and actually became just ritual. Like we talk about the washing of the hands. It wasn't about washing your hands. You had to say a prayer and wash all the way down to your elbows, and you stand this prayer the whole time. And that's when they came to Yahshua and they said, why is it your disciples, you know, eat with unwashing hands? He said, they don't eat with dirty hands. They just don't go through the ritual. They don't need to do that because it's not of the Torah. It's not of the law of Yahweh. Where's love in that? This is something that the Father gave you just to, you know, make you special, right? You learn the ditty. This little prayer, you say it when you wash down to your elbows. You wash your hands and everything else. But what was more important? When he was sitting at meat with the Pharisee. In the center, the woman was there washing his feet with her hair and her tears. Who showed love? The man that invited him that didn't wash his feet when he came, or the woman, the sinner, that was cleaning his feet with her tears, showing that she loved him because of who he was. See, the Pharisee was just, oh, I have the prophet in my house. He's dining with me. And he also had these other, I'm sure, dignitaries or other Pharisees along with him to show off. But what did Yahshua say? He said there was a man that had two debtors. The one that owed little and the one that owed a lot. Who would be more, I mean, received the forgiveness? Who? Oh, I guess the one who forgave the most. And he says, you've answered correctly. See? This woman, she's a sinner. Right, he was saying that. Oh, he knew who was touching him. You understand? It was the attitude in which he approached. See, he was there for show, which the Pharisees were all about show. They did things to be seen of men. They didn't do it from the heart because they loved Yahweh. Yet this woman was showing repentance, true repentance, because she bore her heart out and did what she did for Yahshua out of love. Did that Pharisee do it out of love to invite Yahshua to come eat at his table? No, he did it out of show. And see, this is the difference. We have to understand when we come before Yahweh, when the Galatians ended up going back. And this is what Paul is coming after them with. In verse 2 it says, "Paul, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, the Messiah will profit you nothing because you're denying him. Yes, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law." I have right next to that all law. It's not the Torah, because what happens here is that if they receive circumcision, especially after accepting Yahshua, that means they denied his blood. You understand? They're shedding their own blood. If someone came and say they were a Gentile, they wanted to become a Jew, and they were already circumcised, they would take a pen and still have to prick them to get some blood. You understand? Because they're back to that old covenant. Circumcision was the old covenant. The new one is Yahshua's blood cleanses all our sins. We don't have to shed any blood. That's why these people who want to have a lamb at Passover are denying Yahshua the Messiah. If you have to sacrifice a lamb, you're going back. You understand? You're not accepting the blood of Yahshua. If you love Yahweh, you will accept Yahshua as your sacrificial lamb. In verse 4, Paul says, "You are severed from the Messiah, you who would be justified by the law, you who have fallen away from grace. For we, through the Spirit by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. For in the Messiah Yahshua, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love." That's the key, brethren. It's love. "You were running well. Who hindered you that you should obey, that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not of him that caused you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence toward you in Yahweh that you will be not otherwise minded. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is." Because there were some false brethren there, false teachers, trying to take the Galatians back into bondage. And that bondage is sin. Like I said, not the bondage of the law. Verse 11, "But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then has the stumbling block of the torture stake been done away?" That torture stake is what cleanses us from sin, each one of us. That's the love that Yahshua manifested to us through his sacrifice. Verse 12, "I would that they that unsettled you would even go beyond circumcision. For you, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." And truly, that's what was taking place. And that's why when Satan comes in and tries to destroy Yahweh's people, he comes through to cause them to fight one against the other. He'll come up with some sort of doctrine or, "Oh, this person was talking about you." You know how gossip starts and whatever. But, you know, that's so easy to stop. It's so easy to stop, because if the person has come to you and you just say, "No, we're not going to go there. We're not even going to deal with it." Because if you have a problem with somebody, that's why we have Matthew 18. Go to that person. Don't come to me. That person you have the problem with, go see them alone, as it says in the scriptures. That's love. If you love your brother, then you follow the scriptures. But too many people, even on our former affiliation in the leadership, did not do it. They would start a rumor themselves. Oh, I have this on good authority that Brother so-and-so is doing this. And instead of coming to Brother so-and-so, you know, they're just off running with the mouth. And then people pointing fingers, and you're a bad guy because they heard it from somebody on high with authority that you did something that was so drastic that you didn't get put out for it, at least not at that time. You know, maybe after a while, after the rumors built up that you had so many of them against you, then you just became an outlaw, you know, because you're doing all this dirt. And yet, the first person that would come to you and say, well, you know what? And then you correct them, and then they had to go back. And you ask them, where did you get this from? And then they tell you, then you go to that person. And you straighten them out, then you go to the next person. So you have to follow the chain all the way back to the leadership, where it came from. You understand what I'm saying? That's not love. This is what Yahshua did not agree with. And therefore, he tells us if we love one another, that we're going to do that which is right. We'll follow Master A.J. We're not going to be pointing fingers, talking behind people's back and saying, oh, that person did this. No, we're not going there. It's not going to be happening in YPTC. This is not what this is about. Yahweh is not the author of confusion. He is the author of love. And we're going to enhance our life with love, brother. That's what we want to do. Because Almighty Yahweh gave us His Son, Yahshua the Messiah. He is love. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28-34. And one of the scribes came and heard them questioning together, and knowing that he had answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the first of all? Yahshua answered, the first is, Shema Israel. Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Akkad. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So those two commandments were all you need. And the scribe said to him, of a truth, teacher, you have well said that he is one, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Yahshua saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of Yahweh. And no man after that dared ask him any questions, because he gave it to him. He let him know. See, they constantly tried Yahshua, but he constantly responded with the word. He corrected him each and every time. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We say this at least twice a day, the Shema. And this is where that was from. Verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, if we love Yahweh with all our might, don't you think we would go out of our way to help our brethren who are in trouble? We'll go out of our way to do that which is right toward each and every person we come in contact with, even if we have to practice Matthew 18. But sometimes you don't have a problem with somebody. They may have a problem with you. And we still have to go to them and let them know, no, I heard you had a problem. How can we solve it? And if that person doesn't want to solve it, then that's on them. But you've tried to solve it. You understand? And this is where we are. And that's love. When you are willing to do that. There's no pride involved, because pride is going to create a problem. If you're prideful and you're not willing to seek out that person and solve that problem, because you don't want to be the first to, you know, I mean, truly, if you love that person, you'd be willing to do it anyway, because that's what love's all about. But if you have pride there, then that's something that's got to be worked out. You got to get rid of it. It says, these words in verse 6, which I command you this day, shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. See, so this is something we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be teaching our children that they should love Yahweh with all their heart and all their soul and their neighbor and their enemy, so that they shouldn't have any enemy. Because it talks about a righteous man, even his enemies will be at peace with him. And this is what we have to try to do, brother. Says, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk, and shall talk of them when you walk, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And when you walk by the way, this is an example. You're showing your children an example of how they should treat other people. See? When you're walking by the way, you are the example to those that are looking at you. Because people are watching. Trust me, they're watching. They want to see how you react. And that's why I say, sometimes you may be entertaining angels unawares. Yahweh may send somebody to you just to see how you're going to react. In verse 8, and you shall bind them for a sign on your hand, they shall be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Luke chapter 18, we'll start in verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spoke a parable to them to the end that they ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not Elohim and regarded not man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not Elohim nor regard man, yet because the widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. And the teacher said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and shall not Elohim avenge his elect that cry to him day and night, yet he is long-suffering over them? If the unrighteous judge will do it, this is what Yahshua is trying to get his elect to see, then Yahweh is going to do it for his people because he loves us. I say to you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? That's important, a very important question. Is Yahshua going to find faith on the earth when he returns? Because we know the love of the many shall grow cold when these tribulations come upon the earth. But Yahweh's people, if we have the love of the Messiah within us, he's going to find the faith. He's going to find his people, because the sign that we are his people is that love one for another. And that's what we're going to show. So our closing scripture, turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, we'll start in verse 1. Whoever believes that Yahshua is the Messiah is begotten of Yahweh. And whoever loves him that begat, loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim when we love Yahweh and do his commandments. So when people say, well, the commandments are done away with, we can say, well, no. Those who love Yahweh keep his commandments, because that's what we're commanded to do. In John 15, in verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatever is begotten of Yahweh overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." That's the faith that Yahshua is going to be looking for when he returns. But he that believes that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, and says, "And who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh." And we believe that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, brethren. And we know that we have overcome this world through Yahshua and his shed blood. The Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you who have given yourselves to him through baptism into his death, because you're going to be raised with him in the air when Yahshua returns, whether you proceed in death or you're still alive when he returns to be called up as the elect to meet him in the air. So Almighty Yahweh is enhancing your life with love. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one. If you'd all please rise at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, again, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We thank you, Father, for this, your Feast of Tabernacles and the first high day. And we ask, Father, that you would continue to bless your servants, that you would be with us, and that you would help us to show love one to another. We know that this is the only way we can overcome this world, is through your spirit and your love. You've manifested that love to us through the sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Help us to be faithful and not tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua, but to accept that sacrifice and show love to all those that we come in contact with. Truly, we thank you, Father, for the blessings from on high, for our life, health, and strength, and for the love that you've given us. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. For our closing song, we'll be singing number 32, More Love, More Power.